Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
There were, the warning signs were there, first of all. Like, all of my friends who were not in sub radio were women. And I was in an a cappella group. And, you know, there were just a lot of, like, the red flags were there. Green flags. Bi flags.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? Or today, we ask a different question because we have our first ever bisexual man on this podcast. I'm not proud to say that, but it is the TRU. There has been a bisexual man on the Patreon for gay ass sex. Let me be very queer on that. But for whatever reason, it hasn't happened on Gay Ass Podcast, which we do discuss right up top. If you don't know who Adam Bradley is, he is a very cute short king and the lead singer of Sub Radio, which originally they caught my eye with their cover of Stacey's Mom called, you guessed it, Stacey's Dad. Now listen, a band that sounds like Fall Out Boy singing about fucking their friend's dad? Honey, I'm in. I'm seated. And then I'm standing, and then I'm seated. Because I'm sitting on the dad. I will say, I'm not the only big fan of Sub Radio. I checked out their TikTok once I watched that video. They have about a million followers. And like I said, Adam is their lead singer and bisexual king. And his bisexual origin story is so delicious, and Adam gives us the inside scoop on how they landed one of the biggest music producers in pop punk. It's juicy, it's music BTS, this interview is gorgeous. But before the interview, just a quick update that tickets are going very fast for That's a Gay Ass Live Show in New York City. I'm counting down the days. It is June 28th at Chelsea Music Hall. The lineup is just about confirmed and will be announced very soon. But just know, if you're in New York, it's going to be the last Gay Ass Live Show there for quite some time. So do not miss it. I hope you enjoy this episode with Adam Bradley. I don't imagine that Adam has asked a lot of these questions in his other interviews, so I feel just like a lucky gay girl. If you enjoy, tag me on Instagram at Eric Wills and tag Adam in the band. It's Sub Radio and their handle is Sub Radio Band. Stay by. Have not had many a bi man on this pod. Are you mad at me?
Oh my goodness. No, a little bit, but it's fine. I am happy to be the ambassador from the nation of bi men.
Yeah, you're going to be speaking on behalf of every single one, and I hope you're okay with
I love to do that. I love to assert speak my on behalf of a full yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is. I think partly I'm not going to explain why I haven't had a ton of bi men because it'll...
Yeah, sure explain yourself.
Yeah, I really should. I'm like, well, there's something about you people. No, it's more, I think it's just like, organically, I have not crossed paths with as many bi men as I would like. And Adam, the universe brought us together. And let's spin it with a positive and say, if there's going to be a bi man I'm going to be confronted with on this podcast, I'm glad it is a gorgeous Sub Radio lead singer, pop tenor king like you. So do you accept the compliment?
I graciously and gladly. Thank you.
Oh good. Well, then let's get into it, because I had absolutely seen the Stacey's Dad video around this Al Gore internet, and I have now delved into your story, and there's a lot here that we're gonna get into. So the first thing I want to ask about, let's ask the famous gay ass podcast question about you, Adam Bradley, being a bisexual king. Whose fault is it that you're bi? Who do we blame, babe?
I have spent the last 24 hours thinking about this very question not something that I have actually pondered. And I have decided that I can lay the blame at the foot of High School Musical, like the original,
Huge.
Yeah.
Was it Troy and Gabriella both?
Right, exactly. When I realized that I didn't know in which direction the attraction was going.
Are we soaring or are we flying?
There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach, honestly. And
oh, I love that song so fucking much.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also, yeah, it's a genuine piece of art. But I will say High School Musical. Vaguely.
So let's delve in, because if we're watching Troy and Gabriella, they're singing that duet, which thank God had the harmony that kind of reverberated in my gay bones. Were you watching this? I mean, I assume age-wise, quite young when High School Musical is out. Did you know that you were allowed to be attracted to Zac Efron as well? Was that where the confusion was? What were the feelings between the two gorgeous singers of HSM?
You know, I did not know that that was allowed. And as a sort of small, effete man with non-masculine interests in high school, I was already kind of terrified of like attracting that label. And so for me, like, I did not come out until like my late 20s. A lot of that was, yeah, just sort of rational and irrational fear of like what that would mean about me.
Of course. It's very well said that there are irrational and rational fears. Rational fears being, will I be accepted by those I love? Will I be safe? Will I boo boo boo? Irrational fears being, will it mean I have no value as a person? Will it mean that I will only be known as a cock sucker? Will it mean I am not able to be given any respect? I mean, like, sure, there are people who will treat you like shit because they are shitty people, but for the most part, we have to deal with a lot of those questions. So then you were deeply entrenched in like, I have to be straight or nothing vibes for quite a long time, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it was a particular hurdle for me was just the fact that I am quite small as a person. And I think I really got my head wrapped up in sort of the standards of masculinity in middle school and high school that I could not physically live up to. And so that sort of informed it too of like, well, I'm already like 5'3" and I can't shoot a basketball, so I cannot possibly also be gay. That would be really bad.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I'm 6'2" and could also not shoot a basketball. And I also said to myself, I cannot be gay because I can't be gay and tall and bad at basketball. And yet they all three things
the trifecta.
Came true. Yeah, truly. So then I have to ask, if you are growing up in Sterling, Virginia, you are a 5'3", bad at basketball, closeted bi kid. Did you and the boys ever experiment? And did that do any confirming in your mind of how you felt? Or did you not even allow yourself to go to that place until your 20s?
No. Yeah, literally not until after I had already graduated college.
Wow.
And I'm a person, I'm sort of I don't even think intentionally, but I sort of was a serial monogamist for like a decade, where I sort of was just going from committed relationship to committed relationship. And so there was not a lot of like time or space for that, frankly, until I was like out of college. And so, yeah, no, none of that was in play for me at all until I was like already absolutely an adult.
Wow. But you know what? And I hope none of these questions come across as me being like, whoa, like treating like a cage animal at a zoo, like, wow, he's bi. But I think, you know, coming from someone who has an interesting relationship with straight men, because those were, of course, the people who were the biggest dicks to me growing up, talking to a bisexual guy like yourself who didn't come out until your late 20s, like, you were deeply entrenched in the straight male worlds. I mean, you were, you know, whether you wanted to or not, you were a part of a group of people that, you know, by your own admission, you weren't sure if you were having irrational or rational fears about coming out. So when you were, so these questions are sort of informed by that, like, I'm really interested in your journey of really accepting who you were in a world that sometimes doesn't understand by men. So when you were dating these women, whenever they would maybe say they were attracted to a man, did you ever feel like, oh man, I am too, but I can't say it?
No, it's interesting. I think at some point in college, I mean, the warning signs were there, first of all, like all of my friends who were not in Sub Radio were women. I was in an a cappella group and, you know, there were just a lot of, yes, like the red flags were there, green flags, bi flags. I think I did not feel like I had to perform that same kind of masculinity at some point in college. And I can't like pinpoint exactly when that was.
Yeah.
I think everybody, hopefully most people, I think when they go to a liberal arts school in America, you get a whole lot of self-awareness and mm-hmm. you learn a lot about other people, like people who are not from your hometown. And I think all of that was very helpful to me. So I did not feel scared of like being feminine or saying that a man was attractive, but I still could not bring myself to the point of like, and it's because I actually, that's part of my sexual orientation. It's no, I'm an open-minded guy. I can recognize when a guy's hot.
But you know what? Hey, the straight men who do say that, we bless them. But to any of them who are actually wanting to go downtown to Browntown, honey, we welcome you with open holes. And if it makes you feel better in solidarity, I was also in an a cappella group. I would like to not make this a competition, but tell you to one up you. I was in a Jewish a cappella group.
Oh, dear.
So the questioning of were the guys straight or gay or bisexual, it still plagued me to this day. I really don't have full confirmation on some of them. I was fully, obviously, confirmed gay at this point. But when you're with a religious group of Jewish men,
there was no guessing, by the way, in my a cappella group. It was it was run with an iron fist by the gay majority. And so, yes, I went to American University in D.C. Most of the frats are mostly gay guys. It's just a different environment. And so that certainly was helpful. Also,
OK, two questions. One is, did you have a punny a cappella group name?
Yeah, we were called On a Sensual Note.
On a sensual note, the gays were horny in your a cappella group.
Yeah, we would get like hired by sororities to do like tuck-ins and like come sing Goodnight Sweetheart in their dorm and stuff like that. That was sort of the brand. We were in reality, like our uniform was ill-fitting white dress shirts with a custom tie tucked into blue jeans. So
no, this all tracks. This is all very much pitch perfect.
Looked sensual.
Essentially a name and not in fashion game. Was that your fraternity then, the a cappella group, or did you actually become a part of one?
Yeah, no, it operated as a frat, basically. And so that was sort of my...
And yet you still didn't hook up with anyone in your a cappella group?
Not in college.
Oh. So you finally come out after like years after college, and you had a rekindling. By the way, whatever screenwriter is listening to this right now, please write that movie about the college besties who were in the a cappella group. They didn't have the language for the things they wanted to do.
Yeah, Heartstopper 2.
And then years later, they come out, at least make sweet, sweet love. So if we then get into the actual coming out, I know that you've posted these really great videos, of course, about being bi, just celebrating it. But one of the videos you have is your song Cool. And in this video, you have this beautiful message about pride and about when you came out, you had a supportive community. Was that a surprise to you when you came out? Were you feeling really worried that it wouldn't be a positive reaction?
No, frankly. And I don't think in retrospect that I really had much reason to ever think that that would be the case. My family has always been wonderful and supportive, and especially around this kind of thing. My sister is also out, and that happened around the same time. And never in a million years would that be an issue. Particularly now, in hindsight, it's hard when you're in the moment to see that. But no, I did not. At the time that I came out, it's part of why it was so easy for me to do it at that time. I looked around and I was like, this is not. Most of the people I know are queer. So at this point,
right. Well, actually, that makes me realize, I didn't put two and two together, but you're in your early 30s now. So you came out very recently. You're only, what, a couple years into your your out journey. So you must have told
about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. 4 or 5 years ago. So you're now, when you came out to the members of your band, I'm sure they were obviously great about it, but did it change any part of your dynamic?
I don't think so. I cannot say enough about the guys in this band and how wonderful allies they are. It did not change a single thing. And in fact, our bass player at the time, Barry, came out shortly after me.
He's as bisexual.
Yes, and he's no longer in the band because we kicked him out after he came out. He's no longer in the band for personal reasons. We still love him. We see him all the time. But it was a little episode of realizing that a third of the band is queer all at the same time, which was great.
I was wondering that, because when I'm watching these videos, it's like you guys are singing Bye Bye Bye, B-I-B-I-B-I. You're singing Stacy's Dad. Like, there's clearly a reverence for guy love. And I was wondering if how much of the band associates with our communité, and you're saying a third. Give us the scale of queer in your band. Are we a bunch of bi dudes traveling the globe? Do we have any gay girls? What's
happening? As of right now, the queerness in the band is just myself, because Barry is no longer with us. He's alive, but he's not in the band. But what I've loved is that these four guys have like embraced this in a way that is like very, I mean, it's, we got, I kind of wrote this into the Bye 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 video, in the bridge of like, you know, This is not something they planned on being a part of Sub Radio's brand, but they have really like jumped 2 feet in. And especially now that we've like looked around and seen that this is something that our audience really has connected with. It could not have been easier to incorporate this into Sub Radio. And that, I think, says a lot about the other guys in the group.
100%. They're a group of straight men have a few options when it comes to embracing a queer man or person. And clearly the band...
Literally or
it.
Metaphorically?
I mean... both, I would say. I mean, they can... Yeah, no, both, absolutely. But your song Stacy's Dad that first introduced me to your band is, I mean, I have to say this, I just can't believe it's taking me this long, but your voice is so delicious, Adam. Just there's something about a pop tenor that really, really calms down my nerves, just like smelling salts. And I also love a dad. Clearly Stacy's dad is a very smart move to make, because Stacy's mom was so huge for us growing up. But are you actually into dads?
Well, yes. But one of my favorite parts of making that video was the six of us all finding a different dad archetype to dress as.
Hell yeah.
You know, we had like Matt in the glasses and the knee-high socks. Mm-hmm. And we had Barry in the beater tucked in the jeans like he's going to the gym.
Fuck yeah.
It was fun that we all... the prep for that video was basically everybody show up dressed like a dad, no more instruction than that, and everybody managed to nail a different type of dad.
What's your favorite type
of
dad?
That was great. Barry, personally.
And let's say you, for some reason, find yourself at a shopping mall, which was a huge place for me to look at.
I remember those.
Growing up. Yeah, they used to exist. What? explain to me what the hottest guy looks like and is wearing to you. And the hottest girl that you run into at a mall, what do you picture as the most delicious visual?
Oh gosh, I'm a kind of a sucker for like very traditionally straight guy archetypes.
Oh,
quarterback, etc. And as far as women, my taste has always been the girls who go to shows. Short hair, hair dye, tattoos, etc.
She's definitely been the hot topic before.
I am married to a woman who had my haircut at the time that we met.
I'm obsessed with that. You know what you're into, and I can only assume that your wife has been incredibly supportive of this journey. How long have you been with your partner?
So we met in 2015. We've been together since 2016. So now 8 years. We got married 2 years ago. And my wife, Caroline, is also queer, also a bi queen. And so we seek each other out, I think, intentionally or not. And so she's my favorite person in the world. And I'm very glad to be married to her. And I'm very glad to be married to a queer person.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's so cool, especially because you know, growing up in a place like Virginia, I can only imagine that there were certain ideas that were presented to you as like the way to live, which was like probably have the straight marriage with the kids and kind of like call it a day. And you're now living this proudly queer life with your queer ass wife. And that to me is just what the doctor ordered. Now, if we get into the journey of your band, I just am so impressed by the way that you have grown, because it is not an easy industry to get your foot in the door even, and out to actually be selling out shows around the world. You are very much in the middle of a whirlwind experience with the way you got to start working with this world famous producer, Neil Avron. Can you tell us about how you got the idea to get in touch with him, and then explain how you went from A to B to actually now being at his home to record?
Yes, you're correct that we're in the middle of, we're all in the band, and me personally are in the middle of like the busiest time of our entire life, basically, because we've been on the road and flying to LA and flying to Nashville and doing writing sessions and recording and playing shows since like August of last year with no breaks.
Wow.
And so I'm looking forward to spending two consecutive months at home coming up, which I haven't done in like a year. But yeah, so the story with Neil, which I'm at his house right now, studio's right up there, this was sort of our moonshot producer for this record, because we felt like we had written, I mean, we wrote about 50 songs for this album, and we had to pare it down to 15.
Holy shit.
For the album. And when we got to those top, you know, 15 or 20, we were like, this is a like pop punk, alt rock, like Third Eye Blind, Fall Out Boy, etc. kind of record. And this is obviously who we need to make it. This is the guy who made all of Fall Out Boy records and Yellow Card and Everclear and Say Anything and all these bands that like we love and whose sound we're ripping off. And we, you know, this is obviously the guy. He has not been producing records for a long time. He's been exclusively mixing for the last like decade or so.
Yeah.
And he just got back into producing with the new Fall Out Boy album. That's the first thing he's done in a long time, and he did it in this same room, which is really cool. So we kind of just had our team do a cold reach out of like, hey, here's some demos, this band would love to work with you, here's the label's budget, what do you guys think? And kind of astonishingly, because of the traction on the internet and everything else, we got a reply that was like, hey, these songs are cool, let's talk about it. And 3 weeks later, here we are. We have an Airbnb for the whole month of May out here in LA, and we are most of the way through recording these singles.
Holy
which is
shit.
Really, really cool.
Listen, you put out into the world what you wanted, and now you are sitting next to the studio that Fall Out Boy themselves were at. The video that you put online was basically like, hey, we need 10,000 shares on this video to get their attention. Tell us like the behind the scenes. Was that before you had reached out to him or after?
It was before. So our label basically said, you know, guys, we would love to work with Neil too, but this is like one of the biggest names in your sound, and you are a relatively small band still. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way with how busy we are, but we are a relatively small band in the grand scheme of things. And we just don't think like, it's not going to be worth a cold email if you guys aren't getting some traction on these demos. Mm. And we said, all right, challenge accepted. We have a very online fan base, I think we can do it. But I did not expect that video to go the places that it did. I was getting texts from like cousins that I hadn't heard from in years and friends who live on the other side of the country, like, hey, I saw your video. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's smart because it's a mission-based video. It's like, we not only are talented, but we also have like this mission to get this in front of this producer. And by the way, you named amazing people that Neil has worked with. I want to give a shout out also to, he's worked with many times, Sarah Bareilles, another person who has made me gay. I saw that. I think, I don't know if he mixed or produced the Waitress Broadway cast recording. Shout out.
There's a Grammy on the shelf in the studio from Waitress.
Sugar, butter, flour.
And also from Dear Evan Hansen.
Ooh. Yeah. All we see is Sky 4-5 ever. I mean, this, yeah, Neil is clearly like the GOAT, but also the way you all use social media, it like almost makes me pissed how good you are at it. Cause it's like, it's a hard balance to try to push out your creative work in a way that is not cringy on the internet. I find that is a balance we all try to find. And I aspire to continue to try to grow, you know, connecting with people through the tools we have, but do it in an organic way. Are you the one that's behind the sort of like editing genius and the ideas behind it for the band?
No, we're kind of a full team. So we do ideation together for videos and promo campaigns and stuff like that. Matt, our guitarist, is typically like the big idea guy with all this stuff, and he's like doing research and watching TikToks for a couple hours to get other people's ideas. And Mike, our drummer with the big hair, is our video editor, and he's great at it. He is self-taught, like he is with literally everything.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's so smart. I am just like the video of you. You're doing. I love a sad lesbian, first of all, and the Lizzie McAlpine Ceilings, you know, is incredible song. You all covered it, and there's a video of you like walking in a jacket. You unzip it. You're wearing a gorgeous gown. I mean, it's just simple, but it works.
Straight from the Goodwill earlier that day.
Yeah, she was. Well, speaking of gorgeous, gorgeous gowns, I do want to ask you the next gay-ass podcast question, which is, Adam Bradley, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay, I've also given this one some thought. Thank you for sending these in advance.
Of course.
And I don't know if this is like my final answer, but I settled on Jane Krakowski,
Adam,
or Maya Rudolph. I could not actually choose, but I could deal with just getting Jenna Maroney and nothing else.
I'm going to be fully honest with you, Adam. You have done such an amazing job in this interview of just like, you know, being authentic in yourself. But for me, I was like, you know what? He's a pop punk bi boy from Virginia. He might go Jennifer Coolidge, which I would love, but she can sometimes be a little bit of an A answer. But you went to first immediately Jane Krakowski, Adam. Thank you. And then Maya, did you recently see her SNL opening monologue where she sang a song called Mother?
I just think she's so terrific. Ugh. Particularly at the comedy stuff.
Oh my God. And she also, I think, lead sings in a band as well. She's another person. I mean, God, a dream guest would be both of those women. But Maya is, I know a couple people that work around her with on her show Loot, and she just, to me, sounds like next level character actress on camera and off, and these choices are stunning. Because you did give us two women who are quite theatrical, especially Jane Krakowski, were you ever a theater queen yourself?
I had a lead speaking part in my seventh grade musical, Hello Dolly.
Who was she? Was she one of Barnaby? Well, Cornelius? Who are you?
I was Barnaby, one of the dorkiest shows to ever be put on.
Yeah. And you, I will say, you know, a short king like yourself would slay a Barnaby.
It was good. I got to do we had a little bit of choreo where I was doing like jumping splits.
Yeah, you were.
Which is very silly. But at post that, the peak of my theatrical career, I have kind of not done that since. My peer group, my friend group, has always been the the theater kids in high school and college. So I got it by osmosis. But no, I was never on stage. I was too busy doing high school sports like a dummy. I was too busy running all the time.
At least it was a non-contact sport. You don't have CTE.
No, I was a cross-country boy.
Girlina.
Precisely.
Wow. I love your story. I love your herstory. And because we sadly don't have too much time left, I just want to hear from someone who has been creating all this buzz. I mean, Sub Radio has developed a really passionate following. You're selling out shows all over. You're working with this dream producer. Can we manifest? What are we hoping for in this global takeover for Sub Radio and for you, Adam Bradley? What are we trying to see happen?
Oh man, put it out in the universe. We're recording the best music that we've ever made. So my hope is that we can find a way to build a universe around these songs and welcome all of you into it. And we're like in the process of doing that right now. But mostly I just cannot wait to kick this music out because it's so good. And it feels like it's been so long since we did something. And I'm just like, I'm itching. I'm itching to get the music out.
Or as they say in my industry, hurting for a squirting. That sounds so good. And I'm going to give a shout out to someone who literally called me while I was interviewing you. His name is Daniel Adam Tepper. He's an amazing singer, songwriter, performer himself in New York City. He loves a Fall Out Boy. He loves a pop punk moment. And I know through him and through following you how much hard work it is to create music, especially. And I absolutely see the Sub Radio global takeover as it's continuing to happen. Now, Adam, your final question that I did not prep you on is, if Troy and Gabriella soaring and flying made you bi, what is keeping you bi today? Is it the techies backstage giving you a knowing glance? Is it a certain TikTok star? Is it a sandwich? Adam, tell me.
Great question. For whatever reason, when you asked it, the first thing that popped into my head was Chapel Roan, which
yes,
is like an incorrect answer.
No,
she
not.
Is a woman.
Who cares?
However,
that's
just something
Chapel
about
Roan,
it.
There's something about Chapel Roan is another one of those like unbelievable talents that I'm embarrassed to say that I only fell in love with her in the past. I mean, literally the past, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 months, because my husband got into her. And, you know, I saw that she was at Coachella killing it. And there was a video of her singing one of her songs at some random fair that there was like, you know, 10 people listening. And now look at her. It's like, that's even besides the queerness of her. She's just fucking badass. I love her music.
I will always love a queer woman whose whole thing is just that she's really slutty. Like, that's great.
Are you an aspiring slut?
I admire sluttiness. I wish to like incorporate it more into my life and work.
I encourage you, and I believe in you, and I've seen the crop top pics, Adam, and tens across the board. Well, Adam, thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast today. It was a bi-ass podcast, and I want to know where to follow you and what can we look out for from Sub Radio.
Oh my gosh, find us on the internet everywhere at Sub Radio Band. That is our handle on all the platforms. And we're going on a real tour September and October, West Coast, Texas, Carolinas. Go to our website. Tickets are on sale. Come see a show. They're going to be the best shows you've ever played.
Hell fucking yeah. Adam, congrats on the success. Keep on working your gorgeous booty off. And I look forward to seeing a show in person and having a new bisexual friend in my life. God bless you.
Thank you so much. This was a delight.
Thank you for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you enjoyed this bisexual episode, tag me and Adam on Instagram. I'm at Eric Wills, and Adam's band is at Sub Radio Band. I hope you are ready for a full Pride Month of more delicious episodes, amazing guests. And if you want more content, go to the Patreon. We do a Gay Ass Sex Diary where we get to hear about people's inside scoop on their sex lives. So that is at the Patreon at patreon.com/gayasspodcast. I'll see you next week. Stay gay, stay slay. It's the month after May.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.